all of our non-binary friends, to everyone on the spectrum and in between. Welcome to another episode of The Shutter Show. My name is Ken Stacknick, and with me, as always, is...
David Marlowe.
David, how you doing today?
Ken, as you would say, I am fine and dandy like sour candy. How about yourself, good sir?
Oh, just another day here in paradise, although this is a paradise different from where I was normally recording in Hawaii. I am back in San Jose, California. For the time being, I will be back in Los Angeles in April. And as of right now, I am in the fugue state of between two places.
Yeah. Ken, do you want to talk about like why you're back, or do you just kind of want to leave that off to the side? And
I am back from Hawaii because that movie no longer needs my help, and we will I do not kiss and tell on this podcast. That is an ongoing situation. That is an ongoing situation, and we will keep it there. But I am back from Hawaii, and I will be back in Southern California here in a week or so.
Well, Ken, it's nice to at least have you back. What is it? So how many hours apart were we when you were in Hawaii? We were like 4 hours?
I want to say like six.
Six. So it's nice to at least, chop 3 hours off that delay.
Yeah, no. Definitely makes it a lot easier for us to just get the schedule together and get us both in the same time. And obviously it also frees me up some, at least we'll see how busy my April is. But it definitely opens me up to record a little bit more regularly, which is something we are going to try and do over these next couple of weeks now that things are less crazy. But as always at Shutter Show, no promises, because the show is free.
No promises. currently at my job right now, things are a little crazy just because I have to be on sort of a forced extra month of training, not because it's anybody's fault in particular, but the supply chain has been fucked five ways till Sunday, and all the things that they need to put me out on a job on my own won't arrive for at least another month. Because, Putin.
Damn you, Putin!
Putin! Things are going great. My place is not a cacophonous echo chamber as it was before. We have unpacked nearly everything. We have pictures on walls, not a lot of them, but we have some because I intend to put a bookcase that I will soon build right there.
Very cool.
It'll be super nice.
Very nice. Ken, very nice indeed.
Ken, so you gave me a choice between two separate movies.
I gave the listeners a choice between The Town That Dreaded Sundown and Gator Bait.
Yes. And so...
I got a text from you that said like the audience chose Gator Bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we chose Gator Bait, and just as I hoped they would, Ken.
Good.
They did not let me down, because damn it, that trailer was too fascinating to pass this one up.
It's a good poster. It's a good trailer.
Though I have to say, aside from there just not being a whole lot of material in terms of like research. The unfortunate thing that pops up when you look up Gator Bait is unfortunately some really fucked up history about how white people used to use black children as black babies as gator bait. And, at this point, like any politician who tries to argue against reparations, all you have to do is just be like, hey, white people used their babies for gator bait. I'm pretty sure, some financial equality might be in order. You fucking monsters.
Welcome to Shutter Show, the horror movie and reparations podcast hosted by two white guys.
Every time I was looking up information, every once in a while it would pop up and I'm just like, I'm going to stop looking stuff up and we're just going to talk about this movie the best way we know how. And that is sort of...
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you can go by the UK title of Swamp Bait, which at least does not have the connotations that, we're real. And I know FSU used to have that as a chant, and they have stopped doing that because even they in Florida were like, ooh, this is racist, because it is. But luckily, this movie does not deal with any of that.
No, no, that this, is not the plot of this film at all. Ken, what is this film for for the folks wondering?
Yeah, this movie's from 1974. It's directed by both Ferd and Beverly Sebastian, not Fred, but Ferd. Ferd serves as the director on it as well. As the DP on it as well. And I believe he composed some of the music. And it stars Claudia Jennings and Sam Gilman. And it is a Cajun rape revenge movie that is set in the swamp, as most Cajun movies tend to be. Now, let's see here.
Did Deliverance happen before or after this film?
Deliverance, I want to say, is going to be just before this film. I want to say Deliverance is like 73.
Did Deliverance start like a weird 1972. Subgenre?
So there was already like Southern exploitation was already a thing. At this point, the entire exploitation movement is kind of up and running at this point and finding new things to graft onto. Very famously, like there was a motorcycle club, not a gang, a club that rode through a small town. And while riding through that small town, a rock got kicked up by the motorcycle club. And mind you, when I say motorcycle club, I mean the kind of club you think about your uncle joining, where like he gets together with a bunch of buddies on motorcycles and they ride together in a big group. And then they like have some barbecue and they do another ride and then they all go home. Like a club, not a gang. And so this club rode through the small town and one of the people on the motorcycle kicked up a rock and that flew up and hit a window and that broke that window. And then the title in the newspaper the next day was Motorcycle Gang Breaks Windows in Small Town. And Roger Corman saw that and he was like, ooh, I know. How about we do a exploitation movie about bikers? And he made the Peter Fonda movie, Hell's Angels.
Right?
No, Hell's Angels, I believe is what
it is. Because I know Ferd Sebastian, was it Beverly or was it, which, those are both,
The Wild Angels is the movie I'm thinking about.
The Wild Angels. So bear with me here because I don't know nearly as much about these, this directing couple. And these are kind of androgynous names. Is Beverly the husband or is that Ferd?
No, I believe Ferd is short for Ferdinand, and Beverly, I believe, is a lady.
Okay. So yes, from what I understand, Ferd and Beverly, because they met when they were like 18. I think Ferd was 19 years old. She was 18. They met at like a roller rink, and then they ran away and eloped in like 10 days. And then they just worked as filmmakers. I think they were shooting commercials, and then that moved on. They were eventually making enough money where they could finance their first couple of independent films. I think the first one they made was Hitchhikers,
mm-hmm.
Which was made for about like $7,500 and made enough of a return on its budget to where they could continue making more. And they eventually became very good friends with Claudia Jennings, who was in, or at least worked with them in Hitchhikers.
And Single Girls, and then Gator Bait, and then she's also in the sequel to Gator Bait.
Cajun Justice?
Yes.
Cajun Justice.
Yeah, she's also in Rocktober Blood. It looks like they, and then the rest of the movies, I don't have the information there. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Claudia Jennings, who was at that time a Playboy model, and was doing very well for herself.
She was Playmate of the Year.
Playmate of the Year. But she unfortunately died very young in a car crash in Malibu. And she was the best of friends with these directors, and they apparently wrote Gator Bait for her because she wanted to do another project with them. And in their interviews, they have had nothing but nice things to say about this production. I was genuinely surprised by how well done this film is in terms of just like from how it's shot. It's very it comes off as very professional and still has that sort of exploitation vibe to it.
No, absolutely. I think a lot of the boat stuff is shot really well. There's some really nice stuff in the swamps. I mean, sometimes it's a little rough around the edges, and sometimes that can be a little hard to tell. I will say on Shudder, this isn't the greatest transfer I've ever seen of a movie of theirs. It is in 133 instead of the 185 that it was shot in. I don't know how, if this movie's ever gotten a proper HD or 4K transfer. I unfortunately wasn't able to get to the bottom of that, but I'm going to guess probably not by the.
Do you think that happened when they transferred it to? Because this is because they have a Blu-ray for this, right?
I do believe there is a Blu-ray. I did not get to see if that was the full transfer, but I know this was originally shot in 185 and this is presented on Shutter in 133, and it looks like it's an upscaled SD version. So basically, like, they take the SD version and then they save it as a larger HD file, but like, you're not improving the quality, you're just making it bigger. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's kind of like almost the same way, like when you would buy, like, because I remember going to Walmart, and this is before I knew better and I was in high school and such. And it was they asked, like, do you want widescreen or do you want full screen? And I'm like, oh, well, full means more, right? No. If you ever have
sweet
to choose
summer
between
child,
the two, I know.
Always full.
If you ever, for all you youngins who might be listening to this, if you have to choose between full screen and widescreen, you pick widescreen and then you burn the full screen copy because that is sacrilege.
I would say, do the youngins even have the option for a full screen? Like on iTunes, does it say, like, would you like to download the full screen? No, right? They only have, like, it's
no. And
HD.
I guess they wouldn't be going to like Walmart or Target to go buy a DVD / Blu-ray.
Yeah, why don't you just ask them to print out a list of their DVDs while they're at it? Like, two things Gen Z kids probably aren't going to do.
You know, every time I go to Target, I feel like every time I'm there, the movie section is just less
dwindled.
Picked out. It's or not even dwindled, it's just fuller because no one's buying any of the movies.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, no, this, so Ken, this was one that you had not seen as well, correct?
That is correct. This is a movie that I'd always seen on the shelves at my local video store back when that was a thing, and then I would see this poster floating around in the various streams and just kind of never really got around to it. But I kept hearing whispers that it was actually more interesting than I thought it would be, that it would be, it was it was definitely always put to me as a footnote movie. It was never like one of the, you know, leading parts of the genre. It was always put out as one of those things, like, if you are going to be checking these out, this is one that you should seek out as well. Kind of like a bunch of varieties of potatoes. They're all potatoes. They are all different. But if you're going to start really exploring cooking with potatoes, you're going to look at it, start looking at like varying varieties and their different strengths and weaknesses and their starch levels. And at this point, you're still comparing potatoes, but each one is going to have something that's a little more interesting about it. And this, I think, is a kind of a pretty interesting potato. David, do you want to take our audience real quick through what this movie is about, like what the plot is?
Yes. First, and before I even go through the plot, now, Ken, you said this was a rape revenge film. I will say that there is sexual assault, but there is no physical rape. There is the attempt of it.
Yes,
but it gets
exactly
interrupted.
Yes.
And
oh,
not
boy,
does
it get interrupted.
And not in the way that you would expect. I'm not even going to say it. Like, it was one of those things. I'm like, well, way to keep me on my toes, movie.
This movie. Yeah, sorry, go on.
So I guess to describe this movie, it's following Desiree, who, you know, lives deep in the swamp and, you know, supports herself and her siblings by poaching gators and other animals in the swamp.
Snakes
in particular. It is around that time that a deputy and his friend, who they know that she goes around that area, and they want to, you know, have a little of inappropriate fun with her against her will. And they chase her, and she's able to get away. But in the chase, unfortunately, the deputy accidentally shoots his friend, and then it becomes a huge class clash, if you will, between like two Cajun families. So between Desiree and her brother and sister, and between the what were their last names? There were Christ, what were they called? Very southern swamp name.
Thibodeau.
Yeah, the Thibodeau boys.
Thibodeau. Desiree Thibodeau.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so she's what do they call
and
her?
So they call her Coon Ass, which I thought, all right, so when we first saw this movie, let's be clear, one of the not strengths of this movie is Claudia Jennings' line performances, because she is written like a Cajun person who speaks like in, I don't know what else to call it, but like, the full Cajun dialect, like with the rhythmic nature of it. And she sounds like a lady just saying lines that are not complete sentences. And I think another actress could really make some of this dialogue really come off well, but Claudia doesn't, which is what made me suspect originally that this movie was actually written for an African-American actress. And then when they're calling her Coon Ass the whole time, I was like, ooh, well, that would make sense because, you know, racism and gator bait. However, upon further research, you are correct, David. This movie was written for Claudia Jennings and they just let her take the big swing on that Cajun accent. And it turns out that Coon Ass, well, the first part of that word is definitely a racial slur for African-Americans. Coon Ass is apparently a racial slur for Cajun people and apparently one that they particularly don't like. So that is why they keep calling this redheaded white girl Coon Ass the whole time, because
I would certainly, if you were to call this, give this exploitation film any kind of genre, like hicksploitation, I think is a good term to use. Like, kind of think a lesser version of Deliverance.
Well, I mean, it's Cajun exploitation, which is Cajun or Southern exploitation, which is kind of its own little genre. You have movies like Southern Comfort. You have this. You have Deliverance, as we've talked about. There's a whole variety of movies. What's it called? Axe? I think it is. The Axe movies, I think, take place.
Hatchet?
Hatchet. There we go. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's, yes, Hatchet does take place in.
Yeah, so there is a tradition of this. It is just one of the lesser subgenres of, let's be clear, and it's not that far off from a slasher, but this one is a rape revenge film. And I think one of the reasons to talk about it is a rape revenge movie with no actual rape in it. It has attempted rape in it. It has assault in it. It has sexual assault in it. It has battery in it, but it does not have.
There's definitely uncomfortable moments.
Oh, definitely.
For sure. So a massive trigger warning to folks who, you know, they have difficulty sitting through certain things like that. I know, like, especially when I was younger, I had a lot of trouble sitting through films like that. I remember, like I Spit on Your Grave, other which films of that nature.
Yeah.
Which is, like, horribly brutal.
And this is not that. So, like, I would say if you are thinking about making a rape revenge film, this is a movie you should definitely check out. If you are writing a paper about something like Spit on Your Grave and you want to see what the counterpoint is, I think this is it. I think I've said this on this podcast before, and I will say it again here. Not a big fan of rape, especially not a big fan of rape in movies as well. And to me, the only movie that kind of does that in a way that I think justifies it narratively is Irreversible, which is also on Shudder right now. And that is an unbelievably brutal film with an unbelievably brutal rape in it that is horrifying and difficult to watch and makes you uncomfortable and makes you queasy and makes you want to yell for help and makes you feel helpless. And it just keeps happening in front of you and it's awful and it's terrible and you want to rip out your eyes. And that is how I think this kind of thing should be portrayed. And I think they do a very good job in this in not never making any of the sexual acts sexy. They always make them oafish and clumsy. The characters who are doing the sexual assault and rape or the attempted rape are shown off as to be not smart or good people and thoroughly flawed and bad at this and pathetic and desperate. And I mean, when the antagonists of this movie are, like, the families are introduced, the first thing that happens is the brother tries to sleep with his sister and they have a huge fight in the mud. This movie does not glamorize the act in a way that a lot of other movies do. And then when the largest act of this kind happens about halfway through the movie, it takes a real holy shit, I've never seen that before turn. And I think, again, that's something that's very notable. I watched this movie with a female horror fan who literally like sat up in her chair and was just like, Jesus Christ, I was not expecting that. And whoa, that is holy shit brutal. And then after that happens, you get a pretty typical revenge movie, kind of no matter what had happened up top. But there's a lot of ingenuity and smarts in the way that the character is written. I love the opening where she's off, she's doing her poaching, and yeah, then the deputy and his buddy Ben sees her and is basically like, all right, we know she's poaching, so how about we say it's arrest or sex? Ha 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 ha, this is gonna go great. And then they have a pretty awesomely shot high-speed boat pursuit through the bayou. And then just as the deputy kind of forces her into a dead end in the swamp, she picks up the giant bag of snakes that she's been poaching and just hurls it at the deputy. And the deputy freaks out because, you know, it's a bag full of poisonous swamp snakes. And so he starts shooting his gun wildly, trying to take care of these snakes and kick them out of the boat. And while he's doing that, he knocks his buddy Ben out of the boat. His buddy Ben falls into the water. And then that guy is trying to shoot the snakes and he trips and he shoots Ben right in the face. And he's like, ooh, this is a twofer for me. I just shot my friend in the head and I sank my daddy's boat. Ooh boy, is he definitely going to be mad about the boat. And then also,
Think I'll blame this on the girl.
Yeah, so he comes back, says, daddy, 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 you got to help me out. This Cajun girl blew this guy's head off and also sank your boat. Oopsie. And and the sheriff is real mad about the boat. And then he's mostly mad that they're going to have to go deal with this Cajun lady who he basically says, like, look, they're in there. There's kind of no way to get them out unless they're dead. This is going to be messy. I'm not going to like this. We're going to go need some help. So he goes off and he asks the family of Ben, the Breckens, to help him go and get her, and they swear revenge. And then as they stalk this girl and the members of her family that are in the middle of the swamp, things in the group start to devolve as past digressions and problems start to unveil. So this movie that on paper could very simply be, like, it would be so easy to write this movie as deputy and Ben see Cajun girl in swamp, rape Cajun girl. Cajun girl is left for dead. She doesn't die. She comes and gets revenge. The end. And this movie does something, I think, a lot smarter. It steers away from the uncomfortable sexual assault aspects of things. It steers into the characters. And despite Claudia Jennings' pronunciation and accent being definitely not Cajun, the rest of the movie I think hangs together really pretty well. And also I will say, the event that happens in the middle of the movie is a real holy shit sit up in your chair moment, as I literally personally saw when that happened.
There's also a point in this film, I love the revenge aspect of this, in that, so it's kind of the sheriff gets the posse together. Yeah. All the while they take two boats and several guns and, you know, full crew of guys, and they go into the swamp. And what they establish almost right away is that, no, this is Desiree's swamp. She knows it like the back of her hand. She knows how to sneak up on you nice and quiet. She knows how to drive you just to where she needs you to be in order to take advantage of it. And you see her slowly pick apart the group, like one by one, like while they're sleeping. She could easily kill them in their sleep, but instead she kind of turns them against each other. Mm-hmm. So she'll sink their boat and they only have one boat left. So now they're crowded onto one boat. She takes all their food and all their stuff. And so now they're stuck out in the middle of the swamp and they have to get back and not starve to death or get eaten by gators and other swamp creatures. And then all while this is going along, like, she'll occasionally pick one of them off. And finally it's to that point where there's like two of them left and you're just like, there's no way they're getting out of this. They are fucked. even if she were to just leave them alone, they would die in the swamp. Like, yeah, it's,
she even says, like, swamp will get you.
Yeah, precisely. And all the while, you know, like, kind of like what you're saying, like, these guys have their own issues with each other. Like, there's definitely some sheriff driven corruption on his side, where he sort of turns a blind eye to certain things that this family does, and they hold that against him. And there's sort of a, oh, well, I guess I'm becoming a good guy, but he still is not devoid of the consequences that are going to happen to him for all the terrible shit that he's done. So it doesn't just paint him as a, well, I'm good now, so I guess nothing bad's going to happen to me. You're like, no, you still gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some character turns in here that somebody, like, I think Tarantino was paying attention to. Like, I love how they start off the deputy as this big yahoo, like, I'm gonna rape this girl and it's gonna be great, and I'm gonna use my deputy power over her and it's gonna be all awesome. And then, like, he goes out to, like, get her, and then she fucking gets the upper hand on him, and then he is literally, like, left, like, on the side of the swamp crying for his daddy. And she just, and that's the last we see of him. Like, he's just like, where's my dad? Daddy, where are you? And then they just go and deal with the last people in the movie. There's a real brutalness to the justice that happens, but also at the same time, it's smart. Nobody, at no point is Claudia Jennings or the guy who plays the main dad, which I believe is Sam Gilman. There's no point where, like, he becomes a super awesome badass or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, he just becomes what he's been, a pathetic old man who lives near a swamp and is trying to bust up his inbreedy kids. Like, the final fight that happens between him and the sheriff is pathetic in all the right ways that two old men wrestling over a beef absolutely should be. It would be real easy for them, the end of the movie, to turn him into this, like, I'll teach you something about Southern justice, and punching people and knocking them back. And instead, it's just like two old wet men trying to drown each other in a swamp. And it's exactly how this could be portrayed. I've got to assume that Beverly Sebastian's involvement in this really helped bring a different viewpoint to this movie that normally you wouldn't see, because in almost all of these rape revenge movies, they just really enjoy the rape. Like, they're like, hey, check it out, you wanted to see breasts, right? And you're like, no, these are sad, violent rape breasts. These aren't fun. This isn't Tee Hee Hee. This isn't Friday the 13th. This is, hey man, why are you doing this? Why'd you want to shoot this scene? This isn't fun. It's making your movie no fun. And yes, it can lead to something like I Spit on Your Grave, which arguments can be made about whether or not that's a good movie. I would argue it's effective at what it is. I definitely would say, like this movie or something like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, it is not for everybody. So let's be clear. This movie, Henry, Spit on Your Grave, not broad.
Last House on the Left.
Yeah, these are not movies that we are suggesting, like, bring the family around, have a good time, put on Shudder. Like, no, these are interesting footnote movies. These are movies to check out if you are exploring this topic for art or educational purposes. I don't know.
Kind of what you were saying earlier, I think also there's another appreciation that I think the audience should take in mind, is just, like, this is a low budget film. This is an indie film made by two married directors with a small crew. And then you got to think about how hard it must be to shoot a feature film that almost all of it takes place in the swamp.
Oh, it's shooting in a swamp is a nightmare, above and beyond humidity, above and beyond, like just setting up stands is impossible, because, like, you're either in the water or there's sticks or there's moccasins. Or there's just splinters and twigs and thorns everywhere. And if you get a cut on your leg, you get sepsis, because the water is super contaminated. I'm not saying anything about the quality of the pollution or anything like that. There are some very clean swamps, but they're still filled with, like, dirt and bacteria and all sorts of stuff that is that is not stuff that you want in your cuts. And film production is brutal, and all of that swamp water and dampness in your feet and in your clothes and the smell and the bugs, it is just, and having to keep your fresh water clean, and then the heat, and then also the rain, and then also it gets dark early because of all the forest cover. There's so many reasons that shooting in the swamp is a nightmare.
And then, you know, the gators.
Yeah, and then on top of it, alligators, like literal man-eating reptiles on top of everything else. And then the fish and the wildlife, and just, and getting boats between places, you can easily see the other side of a grove and not be able to get there because of the trees and such. Or if you like, and God help you if you're dragging sandbags or sea stands or trying to run electrical, just trying to get the camera over there safely, keeping the film clean, keeping dust and grime off of the filters, off the lenses. It's a nightmare. The fact,
and then all the while, your lead actress has to efficiently operate that boat, which I will say, she does a fantastic job at doing doing some stunt driving of that fucking, what kind of boat is that? That's just a fishing boat, pretty much.
I think it's just a flat bottom motorboat, because I know you want the flat bottom for the swamps, because you don't want a big, what's it called, rudder and a big brake on the front.
Well, because the waters are very shallow.
Yes, exactly. So you want like a pontoony style flat bottom boat.
Yeah, and there is also a pontoon in this, but yeah, no, like all the actors, when you see a lot of the stunt driving of the motorboats and the pontoon boats, most of the time it is the actual actors doing it. And that is no simple feat. That could easily go wrong, in which case then, God forbid, you get your actress injured, and then you're done with your movie. You can't
or finish. Just simply like the boat hits something and she falls off, and then she gets a cut in the swamp, and then like it just gets infected, and it's just super bad for a while, and she has to go to the hospital and get antibiotics. And also you're in you're out in the swamp, so you have to like get them to the hospital, which, you know, they tend not to be right in the middle of a swamp. That's not usually a good place to build a hospital. Usually you want to,
I don't know, I think the best hospitals are in the middle of swamps.
I mean, I've heard that, but I also always thought that was just a myth.
But no, this is a very simple film that takes a couple of left turns that you don't expect. I think it definitely, kind of what you're saying, it is not for everybody, but we don't pick a film and then we will never shit talk a film into the ground. We won't pick a film unless we think there is a legitimate reason why you should watch this film. Personally, I found this film to actually be a lot of fun. Like, obviously not the rapey parts, but the revengey shoot 'em up, hunt 'em down one by one kind of situations. I found that actually to be surprisingly well done and very intriguing. And then towards the end, it gets really emotional. Like it's there's some, just the point where the sheriff's son, the deputy, gets shot in the stomach, and then he forces one of the other boys to carry him. And then it's just like, you see this father watching his boy, knowing that he's probably not going to make it out of this alive.
Yeah.
But he's trying to turn things around and be the good guy and try to, there is this hilarious circle that this movie likes to make. And it's always one of the guys being like, oh boy, look at her. I'd sure like to get me some of that sweet coon ass. And then it goes into one of the sheriff or the father or something. He's like, now don't you go messing with that coon girl. Now she's bad news. It's like, I got to have me some of that. And then somehow through the conversation, it just works its way right back to, I got to have me some of that sweet coon ass. It's by the fourth time that it happens, I'm just on the fucking floor laughing.
You guys never learn. Leave her alone for your benefit. If bare minimum for your benefit, also hers. Yeah.
Your brother got his dick cut off. He's like, by the coon girl. Like that should be a cautionary tale enough, let alone having to learn that lesson like fucking four times.
Yeah, no, I mean, like that when that came up, I wanted somebody to be like, come on, that's not true. And then one of them turned to her and just be, or turn to him and be like, absolutely no, man. And just nod and just be like, oh, no, no. Oh, no. Yeah, no, no. Barry was never the same, man. Yeah. But then I guess somebody would be like, then why are we doing this? This seems like a terrible idea.
I'm going to kill me that coon girl. Now, don't you go messing with that coon girl. She's real trouble.
Yeah, no, you're right. She is.
It's plenty of fun. There's plenty to be had from it. I highly recommend it. It is still on Shudder. While the transfer might not be as good as some of the other transfers that Shudder has. And it I will say, Shudder does pretty well at getting a solid version of their solid copies of their films.
I concur.
Their library out there, and Ken, are there any other comments that you would like to make on Gator Bait?
I don't really have anything else too much to mention. So I guess I will use this as a segue into the picking of next week's movie. Now, David, funny thing, when I moved back to San Jose, I was cleaning some things out and moving things around, and you will not believe what I found.
What'd you find, Ken?
Well, I found our time machine, David.
You found the time machine?
I found the time machine. That's right.
Oh my God, Ken, how is she?
She is up and running, and I want to give her a little test. So, David, what we are going to do right now is we are going to step into this time machine, and then we are going to travel forward into the future a few minutes when you have seen both the trailers for Invitation and Inside. And then we're taking the decision out of our audience's hands this week, and I'm going to put it in your hands. But to do that, David, David, you want to step inside this time machine with me?
Oh, sorry. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do want to step in there. Sorry.
Okay, hang on.
Get a little ahead of myself.
Yep, no, okay, hang on. Ready? Put on your sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, and... All right.
Sunglasses, a little dusty. Off.
Yep, a little dusty. The future tends to be. David, here we are. How are you feeling?
Oh, nostalgic, Ken. Very nostalgic.
Good to hear.
I think you got two solid films that you picked. Though, Ken, I think I'm going to have to go with The Invitation.
All right, sounds great.
The internet seems to think that this movie is for me. I have had this recommended to me by several different streaming services. It keeps popping up on just various things of movies we think you'd like. I don't know why I haven't put it on to watch, but fuck it. Let's do it, Ken.
All right, The Invitation it is. David, do you have any plugs that you want to plug for the good people at home?
Oh, you know, Ken, just the usual. You can follow us at Shudder_show, where we
that's make on all Instagram.
Yep, on Instagram at Shudder_show. You can also follow me on Instagram at _DW_Marlowe, where I get up to my regular musings, woodworking, and everyday things going on in my life. Now, Ken, where could the folks find you?
They can find us on Twitter at Shuddershow. They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ken Stachnik, KenStachnik. You guys can go ahead and email us if you want at shuddershow@gmail.com. And we are also available on YouTube for your streaming pleasure, although it's just video of the two of us talking. But hey, if that's the platform you prefer and you want to see our pretty faces, YouTube is the place to be. But other than that, yeah. David,
if you want to see what the time machine looks like, you will be sorely disappointed on YouTube.
Yeah, it is unfortunately just to the side of my computer because that is the size of the time machine. Sorry, it's just the logistics of the matter. At some point, maybe we'll use a series of mirrors and then you can see it that way.
Woo!
But until then, ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, to all of our non-binary friends, to everyone on the spectrum and in between, good night, good luck, and most importantly,
go fuck yourselves.
Good night, everybody. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.